Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review dated August 17th, 2015. We will continue now with the obituaries. Joan Davis of Lovington. Joan Davis, 82, of Lovington, passed away at 8:35 a.m. Sunday, August 16th, 2015, at Sullivan Healthcare in Sullivan. Funeral services will be held 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, August 19th, 2015, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Lovington. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 18th, 2015, at McMullen Young Funeral Home in Lovington. Burial will be in Keller Cemetery, Lovington. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Daryl D. Hamilton, Decatur. Daryl D. Hamilton, 52, Decatur, died Thursday, August 13th, 2015. Services will be at 2 p.m. Tuesday at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Monday at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Burial will be at Illini Cemetery in Warrensburg. M. Celeste Applegate of Decatur. M. Celeste Applegate, 88, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday, August 11th, 2015, at Imboden Creek Living Center in Decatur. Mass of Christian burial to celebrate Celeste's life will be 10 a.m. Saturday, August 22nd, 2015, at St. Patrick Catholic Church, 407 East El Dorado Street, Decatur, with Reverend John Burnett celebrant. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 21st, 2015, at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home, with a vigil prayer service at 4:30 p.m. Burial will be in Mount Gilead Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to St. Patrick Catholic Church Building Fund or School. Darren Scott Cooper of Lincoln. Darren Scott Cooper, 50, of Lincoln, passed away at 7:02 a.m. on August 14, 2015, at Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital. Services for Scott will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 18, 2015, at Jefferson Street Christian Church, with Henry Johnson officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Monday, August 17, 2015, at the church. Burial will be at Lucas Chapel Cemetery, where full military rites will be accorded. Memorial donations in Scott's name may be made to Jefferson Street Christian Church or Zion Lutheran School. H. Carl Etchison, Mattoon. H. Carl Etchison, age 85, of Mattoon, Illinois, passed away at 4:30 p.m. June 5, 2015, at the Houston Hospice Unit in Houston, Texas. A celebration of his life will begin at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, August 22, 2015, at the First Baptist Church of Mattoon, Illinois. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. until the service begins. A luncheon will be served in the Fellowship Hall following the service. All friends and family are invited. In lieu of flowers, if you desire, please make a donation to the Memorial Fund of the Presbyterian Church, Mattoon, Illinois, or Houston Hospice, Houston, Texas. Doug German of Decatur. Doug Undertaker German, 67, of Decatur, finally went home after his death on Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. Visitation will be held 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, August 18th, 2015, at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Graveside services to celebrate Doug's life will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, August 18th, 2015, in Macon Cemetery, and conclude with military honors conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorial contributions may be made to the family of Doug German. Robert Duval Schaub, Decatur. Robert Duval Schaub, age 87, died at 7:05 a.m. on Friday, August 14th, 2015, at the Givens Health Center from natural causes. A private service will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions in his name can be made to the Schaub Floral Display Facility through the Decatur Park District, 620 East Riverside Avenue, Decatur, Illinois, 62521. And now back to the news. From local news, new Habitat for Humanity director follows calling. From Decatur, an article written by Teresa Churchill. After Edward Ed Smith retired from the Decatur Police Department in 2010, it got harder to ignore the feeling that being a Christian meant doing more than going to church. So he agreed last year to serve as project manager on behalf of Saints James and Patrick Catholic Parish to build Decatur Area Habitat for Humanity's 61st home on South Webster Street. He enjoyed the experience so much that he stuck around to help Habitat complete its 62nd home on East Hickory Street in March. On July 1st, Smith became the local chapter's third executive director in its 28-year history, with each of his predecessors having a tenure lasting less than 2 years, the first starting work in 2001 and the second in 2011. It just became clear we were not covering all the bases as well as we needed to, Board President Carl Curry said. It also became clear during our interview process that Ed not only had the skills to do the job, he had the passion as well. Smith said his primary goals are to expand the organization's visibility and volunteer base and to reopen a Habitat ReStore where customers can buy lumber, fixtures, and other building supplies the chapter doesn't need. The previous store at 250 West Cerro Gordo Street closed in the past year after more than 6 years in business. We want to do it right and have a real store this time, not a warehouse we're calling a store, Smith said. As part of raising the profile, he also hopes to relocate Habitat's office from Heritage Behavioral Health Center at 151 North Main Street to a new ReStore site. Smith said he would also like to get back into rehabbing properties for homeowners, in addition to building new houses, possibly in partnership with the City of Decatur. After all, the first project the fledgling chapter took on in 1987 was renovating a four-bedroom house on West Main Street. Another partnership Smith hopes to pursue is one with Good Samaritan Inn and the Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly for a construction jobs training program. A lifelong Decatur resident, Smith graduated from St. Teresa High School in 1975 and worked for A.E. Staley Manufacturing Company before hiring on with the Decatur Police in 1987. He earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from the University of Illinois at Springfield and retired as Deputy Chief of Administrative Operations. He and his wife, Tammy, have three grown children, Tony Etnier of Mount Vernon, Eric Smith of Decatur, and Haley Briggs of Chicago. They have six grandchildren. Habitat for Humanity offers interest-free mortgages to low-income applicants who invest 300 hours of sweat equity into their home and or other Habitat projects. I can't wait until we build our next house, Smith said. I hope to build two projects a year and get us up to three or four a year. Run for the Fallen. From Charleston. Saturday was a chance to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country and to teach others why those sacrifices were made. The sixth annual Run for the Fallen event drew hundreds of people to the Charleston High School track. There were family members of those who died overseas and families that wanted to share the experience. The event honors military members from Illinois who died during the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. Saturday marked the fourth year that Dan and Marla Ulis traveled from their home in DuCoin to take part. "It's an impressive event," Marla said, adding that she and her husband think it's something their son Drew would have appreciated. Drew was killed in Iraq on September 15, 2004, when a rocket grenade hit his vehicle. Dan said Run for the Fallen organizer Carolyn Cloyd ran in honor of their son during the first event and later invited them to attend. "We're just speechless that people remember," he said. Meanwhile, 5-year-old Noah James was dressed in a uniform, helmet, and other military gear, and he and his parents, Nick and Brittany James, took to the track. Nick described the Mattoon family as very patriotic and said Noah and Brittany have attended the event in the past. "I try to teach him about the people who fought for our freedom," he said. Organizer Vivian Bales said Saturday's participants honored 254 Illinois military members. Each runner or walker received a card with information about the person being cited, then added a small American flag to a display after finishing 1 mile on the track. Bales said the Military Times and the Washington Post have lists of who died in Afghanistan and Iraq that can be sorted by state. She uses those, along with obituaries and other sources, to compile the information on the cards. "I always look at them as if they were my sons and that I would want people to remember," Bales said. Saturday's Run for the Fallen also featured an Illinois Patriotic Guard traveling memorial wall with individual photographs of all the Illinois residents killed during the two conflicts. For the second year, money from donations exceeding what was needed for expenses went to the Chez Family Foundation. The organization sponsors a center at the University of Illinois that helps wounded veterans with higher education. And from Decatur, written by Ryan Voiles, staff writer, Tour de Pause pedals prosperous path. Once again, Nelson Park has gone to the dogs. But for the fourth straight year, the combination of pups and bicycles equaled a great success for the Tour de Pause fundraiser along the lakefront. "This was our best event since we started," said Shirley Stanley, president of the Decatur and Macon County Animal Shelter Foundation. "People know about us and what we're doing out here, and they want to support us." Tour de Pause, which benefits the foundation and Scoville Zoo, attracted about 175 bicyclists this year, the largest turnout to date. All proceeds for the event are split between the foundation and Scoville Zoo, with money going toward the zoo's penguin and otter exhibits and the foundation's ongoing goal to enhance the quality of life for shelter animals. Saturday's event was about more than cycling, though, as bicyclists returning from their various routes, which ranged from 25 miles to 61 miles, could watch demonstrations from different dogs obeying commands, retrieving objects, navigating obstacles, and diving in Lake Decatur for item retrieval outside of the Boathouse Beach House restaurant. Activities also included a visit by Scoville Zoo's Mobile Zoo, which provided the opportunity to pet a variety of animals, such as a Dutch rabbit. The event was a hit with cycling enthusiasts and those who were looking for a family fun activity. Eric and Tara Matthews of Dalton City heard about the event on the radio and decided it would be an excellent weekend activity for their 3 young children. "We like doing these family event things, and this one was just so much fun for us," Eric Matthews said. "We'll definitely plan to come back next year." Returning bicyclists are a big reason why the event has grown every year since it started 4 years ago, Stanley said. She said participants tell her when they wrap up that they cannot wait to come back next year. "We had one bicyclist from St. Charles, Missouri, who came here just to see what it was like," Stanley said. "As he was leaving, he told me it was one of the best events he's been to, and he's looking forward to telling his friends back home to come with him next year." Those without bicycles were not out of luck Saturday, as David and Shirley Harden of Tandemonium were there to rent out tandem bikes and quadricycles. Being a family of animal lovers, Shirley Harden said it made sense to set up shop at the park. "We did really well today," she said, adding it was the second year they've rented cycles at the event. "It's a great event, and it was good to see so many people out today." And from Decatur, article written by Teresa Churchill. Grow Decatur seeks poverty input, trust from Black community. Grow Decatur leaders said they are leaning toward making poverty one of the initiative's priorities. On Friday, during the first of two town hall meetings focusing on the Black community, more than one participant went so far as to express surprise that the decision hadn't been made sooner. "If we're not going to take a deep look at poverty, why are we here?" asked Courtney Carson, president of the Southside Improvement Neighborhood Association. Jacob Jenkins, chairman of the Black Chamber of Commerce, said another issue he would like to see addressed is the high crime rate in the Black community. Wrapping up the 90-minute session at the Boys and Girls Club of Decatur, Grow Decatur co-founder Larry Altenbaumer said poverty, among other things, should be added to the group's imperatives. "I think we've also got to push trust in there, in capital letters," he said. Altenbaumer was referencing earlier remarks by Jeffrey Perkins, founder of Caring Black Men, who said the spotty representation of the Black community at Friday's session indicated a trust issue. "No one from the Decatur branch of National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, for example, were present." Branch President Janelle Norman told the Herald and Review later that the NAACP had a schedule conflict and is not shy about engaging the issues. She also said she would see if anyone on the executive committee could attend Grow Decatur's second town hall meeting Tuesday. Friday's meeting attracted about two dozen people, more than half of whom were Black. The 30-plus people who participated in Grow Decatur's meeting on poverty, June 10th, at the Decatur Public Library, however, were overwhelmingly white. Giannina Baker, director of Institutional Effectiveness and Planning at Richland Community College and a participant in both meetings, drew applause Friday when she said she's not surprised Grow Decatur has been slow to recognize the significance of poverty, because its initial survey of Decatur public schools missed an important segment of Decatur's population. Jesse Beauvais of Grow Decatur said students of all ages and races had the opportunity to answer the questions, and said Grow Decatur's town meetings on the Black community are an effort to engage people who have not been engaged previously. "Can we get some suggestions on how to engage better?" she asked. Perkins suggested going to Black churches and businesses for feedback. "African Americans don't necessarily do surveys well. Just ask the Census Bureau," he said. Kara Williams, program director for the Boys and Girls Club, said the club, Old King's Orchard Community Center, and Homework Hangout are good places to reach minority youth. Co-founder Bruce Nims said Grow Decatur specifically reached out to Black ministers but failed to make a connection. "They seemed to be receptive," Nims said. "When we didn't hear back from them, we contacted them and didn't hear back." A sidebar to this article says, if you go, what it is, Grow Decatur Town Hall Meeting on the Black Community, when, 5:30 p.m., Tuesday, August 18th, where, Boys and Girls Club of Decatur, 859 North Jasper Street. And for more information, visit www.growdecatur.org or find the initiative on Facebook. An article from Decatur, written by Valerie Wells, Herald and Review staff writer. CAT employees help French prep for STEM. French Academy principal Julie Fain wore a T-shirt on Friday, proclaiming herself a STEM teacher. "Beginning Monday, the first day of school, French will indeed be a STEM school, and Caterpillar Inc. employees showed up Friday to help teachers set up classrooms and unpack. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. Caterpillar's Human Resources Department reached out to us and said, "How can we help your teachers get ready for the school year?" Fain said. "They're helping our teachers with anything they need." Tony Brewster, Employee Relations Manager, said CAT is committed to community service and education, so helping at French fit the bill. One room is set aside as the maker space, though that name may not stick. It's a room filled with material of every conceivable sort for students to use for their own projects. The children come in and explore and learn about anything they're interested in, Fain said. It will be an extension of what they're working on in the classroom through our STEM focus. There's a multitude of so many different things in that room right now. We just want to make sure we have something of interest for every single child in the building. That includes a real, operational greenhouse facing onto Wood Street, which Fain said she hopes will be filled with beautiful, growing things. Fifth grade teacher Marija Branson removed all the desks from her classroom and replaced them with a central work area. A reading nook is in one corner, a tall counter with stools in another for kids who like that kind of workspace. And the idea is for kids to move around, talk to one another, and to Branson, and spend their time in active collaboration. "I want them to be tired every night when they go home," she said. "We'll all be learning together." French's staff spent months researching and preparing to implement STEM this year, Fain said, in an effort to offer the city a program that no one else has. The choice of STEM as a theme was unanimous and included students' input. "We're not buying a curriculum," she said. "We're creating our program based on the needs of individual students. It's going to be the air that we breathe." An article from Harristown by Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer. Groups rebuilding interest in Lincoln's first Illinois home. Begins with a photograph of four people next to a sign that says, "Site of Lincoln Cabin." The Lincoln Cabin stood near the north bank of the Sangamon River, about 600 yards to the east. The four in the caption of the paragraph, from left, Judy Parrish, Jeff Tisch, Cinda Ferris, and Joel Novick are among members of the newly formed Lincoln Heritage Action Group, working toward improving the Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park near Harristown. The site of Abraham Lincoln's first home in Illinois has never taken its place with those that came later, including Lincoln's New Salem near Petersburg, nor the Lincoln home in Springfield. Even the Lincoln Log Cabin, the former home of the 16th president's father and stepmother near Lerna, is a historic site, while the Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park and Memorial near Decatur is not. The Lincoln Log Cabin site has a reconstructed barn and house and this huge visitor's center, and he didn't even live there, said Judy Parrish, a biology professor at Millikan University and president of Macon County's Community Environmental Council. A lot of people don't realize that. Many also do not realize that when Lincoln first came to Illinois from Indiana with his family in 1830, they settled along the Sangamon River, about 8 miles west of Decatur, and stayed until spring of the following year. There is no replica of the log cabin Lincoln helped build at age 21. About all that marks the site's significance is a tablet placed by the Daughters of the American Revolution in 1904 and a "Looking for Lincoln" sign erected in 2009. Recreational facilities are also limited to a couple of hiking trails, two playgrounds, two pavilions, and some picnic tables. Spin City Cycles owner Kyle May said he regularly uses the park for time trials despite its maintenance issues, and said he would welcome efforts to spiff up the place. Members of the Community Environmental Council and other groups mean to do just that. They've formed a Lincoln Heritage Action Group after a visit this spring by Louis Yockey, acting regional landscape architect for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and Kent Massey, land planning and landscape architect with Massey, Massey & Associates of Springfield. They talked about a Lincoln Heritage water trail study that was completed last year. Another basis for the group's work is a master plan for improvement Massey prepared for the city of Decatur in 2009. That plan calls for keeping recreational facilities to the west and the historic site to the east, and also adding an interpretive center and a canoe landing along the Sangamon River. So far, the group has applied to the National Park Service for funding and is looking for other grant possibilities. Members are also exploring the idea of bringing events to the park and reestablishing river access. Canoe access had to be removed 7 years ago for safety reasons after heavy spring rains washed away much of the earth under the former ramp. Jared Cox, events and sponsorship coordinator for the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce, reported to the group recently on a conversation he had with Macon County engineer Bruce Bird, who said another canoe access could be built, just not at the same spot. Joel Novick, an organizer with the Corn Desert Hiking and Adventure Group, said he is planning a kayaking trip along the Sangamon from the Lake Decatur Dam to Wickles Road that he wishes he could extend westward to Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park. Other organizations represented on the Lincoln Heritage Action Group include Caterpillar Inc., the City of Decatur, Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, Looking for Lincoln, Macon County Conservation District, Macon County Environmental Management, Macon County History Museum, and Millikan University. Yaki notified the group via email that he has submitted a comprehensive environmental review required before any construction can be undertaken in a state park. I think a good first step would be for your group to think about the level you would want to be involved in at the park, he wrote. Maybe a friends group could be formed, which would allow for shared management and volunteer work. Yaki added that a meeting with the department's site manager, Division of Lands, could be arranged for the purpose of working out an intergovernmental agreement. And finally, from Lincoln, acting Lincoln Mayor Darren Cooper dies. Lincoln's recently appointed acting mayor, Darren Scott Cooper, died at 7:15 a.m. Friday at Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital, surrounded by his family, according to the city. Details about the cause of death were not immediately available. The 50-year-old Cooper was appointed interim mayor June 1st, 3 months after Mayor Keith Snyder resigned to take a job on the Illinois Labor Relations Board. City Administrator Clay Johnson said the mayor's death has cast a somber mood over City Hall and those close to him. Mayor Pro Tem Marty Neitzel will serve as acting mayor until the City Council takes action on an appointment. The acting mayor will serve until April 2017. Cooper's funeral will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday at Jefferson Street Christian Church in Lincoln. Visitation will be 4 to 7 o'clock p.m. Monday at the church. Burial will be at Lucas Chapel Cemetery outside Lincoln. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, August 17, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.